I'm driving at is that the Aruch HaShulchan is not talking in the abstract. He was talking about a phenomenon that existed in Litta, and of course elsewhere as well, but particularly in Litta, that these Noshim Charutzais, who were models of the Eishes Chayil, Yadea Shulcha Bakisha, V'chapeh Tam Chupolach, and all of those things, that the energy and the particular koyach to turn a parnosa was something that they used specifically to free their husbands completely from any daigas parnosa, and he sat and learned yom v'layla, and he didn't know from the world. So that is a much further extension than the Rashi of that she takes care of tzorchei habayis and she frees him from that responsibility. In Yoridea Simon Reish Mem Vav. Si'if Chav, I believe I said, right? Yeah. The Aruch Laner in the Gemara Yevamos wants to know the Bamarava Amri, that there's a different list in the Ma'arava of the Milus of a woman, that if you're without a wife, you're missing certain things. So the Gemara in the Bavli has a list, and the Ma'arava had a different list. So he wants to know why that is. So he writes, V'nira li, the mekamon aminun b'ma'arava ki nosiv odom itza. In Eretz Yisrael, when someone got married, his friends, his colleagues, would ask him, motza or motze? Is it motza or motze? Referring to two psukim in Koheles and Mishle, Motza Isha Motza Toiv, versus Motza Ani Mar Mimovis Isa Isha Ra. So what was it? Did you win the lottery, or you lost everything? So that's a peculiar question to ask. You know, first of all, there's an inyan of Kalanov V'Chasuda, and when Beishami said Midvar Sheker Tirchok, so the Gemara answered that Beis Hillel answered them, if a person is Koine Mekach Menashuk, Yishapcheno Be'enov or Yiganeno Be'enov. So of course, if it's Yishapcheno Be'enov, then Alach is Kama V'Kama, you don't ask him a question, no, so what was it now? Did you find Mar Mimovas, or did you find Anisha Ksheira? I mean, it's a peculiar question to ask. So a lot of the Sfarim discuss that point, and the Aruch Laner, he says as follows. He says, he's asking a question, how would he know? I'm asking a question, what's it megeya? How could you even suggest such a thing? It probably would make a person maybe look for flaws. I think that probably what they're trying to say is that the person, Mistama, got a good wife. That's what we have to assume. And in fact, it's a way of getting him to corroborate it, which makes a reinforcement of the Shalom bias. But it's still strange. So what is his terence? He says, the ones that are listed in the Gemara, in the Bavli, are milus that only an Isha Toiva could have. Simcha, for example. Person has an Isha Ra, he doesn't have Simcha. He doesn't, it's not pshat that she has milus, and maybe he has Simcha. If she's an Isha Ra, she may have certain milus, but if she has those kind of chesronos that make him miserable, he's not going to have Simcha. So he says, the milus that are mentioned in the Bavli, you need an Isha Toiva for. The Yerushalmi was suggesting, it's a very brilliant piece in the Aruch Laner, it's a fascinating idea. Taima de Marava Shiyehiloi Le Ezra Shemis Asekes Bitzarche Abayis Vihiloi Le Choyma Negera Yetzahara Kmashe Pirish Hamar Shah. That what Choyma means, Negera Yetzahara Ze Shaya Gambi Isha Roa Kedamlin and Lakaman Rabchiav Mitzara Le Divisu Amale Dayenu Shemagadlis Banenu Matsilus Asonu Minachet. Pirush, Shemigadlis Banenu Val Yedeze Anu Yechoilim Lasik Batira. Bezo da Ami Bamarova Balaitira Balaichoima, Sherotsu Lefare Tatoiva Sheshaichi Gambi Isha Ra, under the worst of circumstances. Bezo Mada Ami Bamarova, Kinosiv Inish Itza. Right, ulisam choy b'yom chasunosay shlo yidak shema haya hiloy ishara amgula matzay meitzay pilush bein shei matzah bein shei meitzay al kol ponim matzasa toiv shad kano yisa b'loy toira u'b'loy chayma. So Hashulchan is very fascinating. He says at the beginning of the marriage he doesn't know what he's getting into, and especially if the marriage was arranged and so on and so forth, which most of them were in those days. So therefore, if a person is giving a bracha, he's not giving a bracha on the tzad ha-yoseh toiv that you're going to have everything. What they're saying is that even the worst of circumstances, you're much better off than you were before. Why? Because matzilos asanu min ha-chetu, megadlos b'neinu l'chayu. And megadlos b'neinu, the way the Aruch Laner learns, is that she relieves us from all of those responsibilities which would have taken us away from Torah, which allows me to go one step further, even though I don't believe that the Aruch Laner went in that direction, to explain now what Rashi had in mind. Based on that idea of the Ma'arava, that they said something different than Simcha and Toiva and Bracha, and that it might even apply to an Isha Ra, as the Gemara says on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amid Aleph in Yevamos, we might suggest that Rashi was saying that even if she doesn't have all those other Inyonim, the fact that she is relieving us from Tzarchei Habayis is sufficient that she should be considered that Shori B'loi Isha, Shori B'loi Taira. So it's very interesting. If a person is not besimcha, right, then he has a problem of Torah also. But here's the interessant nazach. When a person has chaos and he has one place, there's one room in the house, so to speak, where it's always tranquil. So when there's chaos outside, he's going to run into that room. What is that room? That room is Torah. Because Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev. If a person is an Avelus, he's not allowed to learn because it's Misam Chelev. You're not allowed to take yourself out of the Avelus. You can't remove yourself from the Matzav that an Avel is obligated in. In order to keep that, you can't have babies in your lap and play with them. For the same reason exactly, because there may be Simcha and they dilute the Avelus, which is a fascinating idea. You're not supposed to dilute the Avelus. You cannot make a mechitza between yourself and that Avelus. You have to allow for it. And therefore, they are not just positive nihugim, like sitting on the floor and so on, but there are also things that you have to avoid. Things that bring lidei Simcha. So the Simcha of Limud HaTorah becomes a haven. It becomes the tower in which he can escape to if he has an Isha Ra. So actually, if he would have a woman that is not providing him with anything, then the material needs that he has to have regardless is going to take him away. But if she's an Isha Ra, believe it or not, a person could be a tremendous Talmud Chacham with such an Isha Ra. Because as long as he can tolerate it, once she takes care of my material needs, I am free to learn. And Adarab, but because she's an Isha Ra, I escape to the Beis Medrash. And I learn more hours and harder than ever. Because that is my only source of Simcha, since I cannot find a source of Simcha in a woman who does not provide Taiva, Bracha, and Simcha because she's an Isha Ra. So it begins to give us a picture that maybe Rashi was not referring to the ideal woman for whom there is a much greater reservoir of Torah in Yonin than just taking care of the Tzarfei Habayis. And maybe he's talking Dafka B'Ma'arava as Aruch Laner says. Furthermore, There's another nekuda that makes the Ma'arava different, based on a famous Gemara in the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says that what should you do first? Yisa Isha v'chakach Yilma Torah, or Yilma Torah v'chakach Yisa Isha? What's, of course, the argument that first he should learn and then Yisa Isha? Because Rechaim b'tzavara v'yasek b'tayra. By the way, this is just a parenthetic remark, but I'll say it very quickly. The Rambam says that everybody, bein ani, bein osher, bein sholim, begufoy, bein bal yisurim, and he goes into a whole list, zokein, gol shetosh, ashkoichoy, afilu ani amechazal apsochim, afilu bal ishu bonim, chayev lekvoya loizman lilmud bayoymu balayla, shenema vagisa bayoymu balayla. So the question that we have is, the Rambam sounds like he's going in a ladder from the smallest burden to the biggest burden. So the Rambam says, "Afilu ani amachazer lapsochim," a desperate person, and then he says, "Afilu balisho banim." Balisho banim is so desperate. What's his azegefelach? So the question at kedekach that I believe that some of Farshim wanted to say that balisho banim is not an independent line in the Rambam. It's not a separate point. It's connected to the previous point. In other words, not only is he an Oni who's mechazer al apsochim for himself only, he's a Baal Isho Banim that he has a whole bias that he has to worry about. And of course, that's a miserable matzav. So Hillel mechayev aniyim. So he has to provide for an opportunity to learn Torah by Yom Balayla. Sorry. You don't say Oynes Rachmona Patre Legamri. How much Yom Balayla is a separate story, but there has to be learning by Yom and there has to be learning by Laila. I believe that is not the Pshat in the Rambam. I believe that Baal Isho Banim is a separate statement. So why is it Afilu Baal Isho Banim? The whole world is Baal Isho Banim. So what does the Rambam mean Afilu? So I think what the Rambam means is as follows. Until Baal Isho Banim, what is the reason that a sick person, an old person, a weak person, a person who is going from door to door, what is the reason that they might be potter, that the Rambam says, but some learning you have to have, you're not potter legamri? What's the reason? The answer is, he's honest. Einus Rachmona Patre. We would say that if a person is working and struggling and desperate and he has no time, so what do you want from him? Einus Rachmona Patre. Not he has time, not he has koya, not he has a cup, etc., etc. So if you're old and sick and frail and feeble, so what do you want from this person? No. And if a person is very wealthy, what's his excuse? He's busy with his assets. He has to manage his real estate. He has to take care of his empire. Rebbe Lozer ben Charsim, Chayev Ashirim. All of these cases in the Gemara and Daf Lamed Hay in Maseches Yuma. Lamed Hayom Beis, that is Einus Rachmona Patre? The answer is no, not Legamri. Baal Isho Banim is not because he's honest. He is honest, but it's much more than honest. And that's why he brought it a separate entity at the very end. He's Mechuyev. Person not Mechuyev to be poor, he's not Mechuyev to be rich, he's not Mechuyev to be sick, he's not Mechuyev to be old. It's a mitzvah. It's his matzah. Baal Isho Banim, I just told you the words of the Ksuba. V'ano eflach v'oike v'ezem v'afanis esichi leike kirkus guvin yudayim v'zonim polchem leike v'zonim v'anishem v'shem v'kushta. So the bottom line is that the last words of the Rambam is a person who has an achrayus, and the achrayus actually comes from the Torah. So we would think that patters him. Almost like the level of Isaac b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah type of thing. If it's the Yevshal Asas Hayidei Acherim, Kamash Malon, that even here, there's nothing in Kaybe Azman Dayayim Ubalayla that would share the obligation. Why am I telling you this? What does it have to do with what we just said? Because the Gemara in Kedushin uses that famous phrase, Rechayim b'tzavara v'yasek b'tayra. So what is Rechayim? Rechayim b'tzavara, that's an eved. An eved has the millstone around his neck. The Rechayim b'tzavara is not because he's going to be busy. It's because he's mechuyev to the Isha. He has shibudim. He's an eved to the Isha. And therefore, how do you expect him to learn that much Torah when he has obligations that the Torah imposed upon him? So if that's the case, what should he do? First, he should learn Torah as much as he can, v'chakach yisa isha, because then the rechayim b'tzavara will begin. But the other mandiyama says, right, yisa isha, v'chakach yilma Torah. Why? Because then it's betara. And he doesn't have obligations and burdens and tirchus, because she takes care of it. So there was this machloikas l'chayra. What's better? Should he get married first, or should he learn Torah first? So what's the resolution of the Gemara? The famous resolution of the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara says, Shmuel says Yisa Isha first. Rabbi Yochanan says learn Torah first. The Gemara says Loi Pligi. There's no machloikas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel, of course, where did Shmuel live? In Bavel. Where did Rabbi Yochanan live? In Eretz Yisrael. Ha'lan v'ha'lohu. It depends what you're talking about. So Rashi says there as follows. The B'nai Bavel mitoich shloi hoyu bebeisam ein sarche habayis mutalim aleihem. Therefore, noise isha v'chakach loim meitaira. Masha'en kem B'nai Eretz Yisrael haloim dim b'mekoimam im noise isha Yiyu tzarche abayis mutolin olav v'yivatluhu ayin sham. So the Gemara says that the Rashi says that the B'nai Bavel, because they were not learning at home, they used to go off, most likely to Eretz Yisrael to learn, but they went off to yeshivas to learn, and the B'nai Eretz Yisrael stayed local. So he says the people who went away, whatever was going on in the house, but they had no responsibility because they weren't there. So they were sitting Yom Valayla in the Beis Medrash, in the dormitory, so to speak. So Mamela, they had no responsibilities. So for them, the best thing is Yisa Yisha first, and then Achakach Loim B'Torah. But in the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who were home, and they used to go home every day, so they would have all of these responsibilities that we were talking about. So therefore, it's better that they should learn first. So that's Holon V'Holuhu. That's according to Shita of Rashi. If he's not bebeisoi, ain it tzorach lasik bebeisoi ve'ein talmudo mishtakeach. Mashen kim b'marova, the Eretz Yisrael that are learning bebeisam. So he says, now adam she'ein lo isha, he says shari b'loy Torah. Right? What would you say? Is that consistent with this Rashi? B'marova, don't forget the Gemara in Yevamos is b'marova. What's b'marava? What were they doing b'marava? They stayed home, right? So b'marava, what should be? Mitchila yilma Torah. Why? Because if he's home, then the tzarche habayis, if he's nice to isha, the tzarche habayis, then he'll have tzarche habayis on his own. Doesn't have much to do. So isn't this a stira to what we're saying right now? Besides my question, leaving my question alone, I'm going now to another shlav. B'marava, the Gemara in Yevamos says, a person without a wife is without Torah. What did Rashi say? Because she helps him with tzarchei habayis. What does the Gemara imply in Kiddushin? That no matter how much he would help him with tzarchei habayis, if he didn't have any tzarchei habayis, would be better. That's why mitchila loy me Torah, v'achakach noy seisha. If he has someone to help him with tzarchei habayis, then what's the problem? The Teretz says, no matter how much he'll help with tzarchei habayis, is rechayim b'tzavara v'yasek b'tayv. He has obligations. And these obligations he doesn't have if he's not married. That's the question. So, Tosfos in that Gemara, it says the opposite of Rashi. And he says, the B'nai Bavel were aniyim. And therefore, the tzarcha habayis was a tremendous responsibility for them. Because they didn't have any money, they didn't have the wherewithal to hire servants, they didn't have the ability to do anything. Like what does the Gemara say, Masechus Pesachim, about lechem oini, ma'daka shal oni b'prusa? One of the things, ma'daka shal oni, hu masik v'ishtoy oifa. He's busy tending to heat up the oven while she's baking, so that it should be chick-chat, so they don't use too much wood. But if you have a lot of wood, you say, put in the wood the whole day and let it burn, and whenever you're ready, stick the challah in. So Memela Oni is much busier than the Oshir because he has all of these tzarcha habayis and has no one to lean on. There's no one to do it for him. There's no upstairs, downstairs. There's no servant staff. So Memela, it's very busy, so he shouldn't get married. That's what the... So B'nai Bavel, Lohem Shapir Osu Lisa Isha B'chakach Luma Torah. Because the Aniyim, the Tzarech HaBayis, are going to be matrid them. But B'nai Eretz Yisrael that were much richer, so it's better he should marry a wife because he won't have the problems of Tzarech HaBayis that much. It's like by us that we have washing machines that they had their servants. So if they were rich, they could afford, so to speak, to have people do it for them. And Memela, they didn't have any burdens. So now, according to this, if you learn like Tosfos that the Bnei Bavel were aniyim, so Shori B'loi Isha is better because then you don't have all the Torah de Habayis that would be Mutal Alecha, and that's what the Gemara means, Echayim B'tzavor. But if you have the Matzav of Eretz Yisrael, what pushed Rashi, by the way? Because Shmuel was in Bavel, and he's the one that says, Mitchila Yisraisha V'chaka Kilma Torah. But the Rabbeinu Tam says, never mind that Shmuel says what he says, and Rav Yochanan says what he says, but the Metzias of Bavel and Eretz Yisrael is as I explained. That Bavel did not have money for servants, getting married would be a burden. In Eretz Yisrael, where they had money for servants, getting married was not such a burden. The machloikas there between Rashi and Tosfos raises a question on Rashi here. That's what I wanted to say. Rashi over there says that the Bnei Bavel were what? No, Rashi. Rashi doesn't distinguish between poor and rich. Rashi says that the Bnei Bavel were not local. They were long distance. And Memela, they had no problem with Tzarchei Abayis. Correct? Bnei Eretz Yisrael were local. So they had problems with Tzarchei Abayis. So the kasha that I had was, but just a moment, if you have a wife and you get married, she'll relieve you of the Tzarchei Abayis. That's my kasha. You know, Rashi, the way he explains it, so in Ma'arava, where they said Shori B'loyisha is Shori B'loy Taira, right? So it means that, and Rashi explained, because when you have a wife, she'll take care of the Tzarchei Abayis, but isn't the Gemara in Kedushin saying the exact opposite, that without a wife, you're much better off, because you don't even begin to have Tzarchei Abayis? That's why in Bavel it was okay. So I wanted to answer to that question the following. So I jumped to the Tosfos, it was premature. I wanted to answer as follows. Depends what your kasha is. If your kasha is, you have a question of when to learn, okay? When to learn. So the answer is, Avad Gaviz, as far as that question is concerned, if you have that choice, the Rambam says and all the Mefarshim say that if you cannot learn Betara, then no matter how much burdens you'll have later, you have to get married. Because you're not allowed to be without a wife because you have your Hurim. But assuming a person could manage it, what is the ideal? The ideal is to learn first as much as you can, and then to get married. I getting married is a mitzvah, b'chulu, b'chulu. But afal pikein, there's nothing compared to learning without any burdens. But if it comes now time to get married, right? So if it's time to get married, then shori b'loy isha, shori b'loy Torah means that in the matzav of marriage, a wife can help you by taking care of those responsibilities which you only begin to have after getting married. In other words, if the shaila is which should he do first, if it's kedima, we do learning first. Because no matter what, you have all these burdens. Because you're there. But if the shaila is, nah, it's you got married, now what? So the comforting here, that the Isha that you married is going to help you take care of the Tzarchei Abayis. So what I wanted to be moisif is the Aruch Laner is of the opinion that the Bavli is when everything is wonderful, and the Yerushalmi is that even in an Isha Roh, right? So she doesn't have Toiva, Brocha, and Simcha. I wanted to say something about this and make this very, very clear. A person wants to get married, what is he looking for? So people looking for compatibility in shitas, in deis, in hashkafas, in attitude towards life. You want a wife that has simcha sachayim. You want a wife that has, intelligence. I want to be able to talk to her. I want to be able to discuss things with her about life and Torah and whatever else. So the first and foremost, of course, is yirah shamayim. That goes without saying. But after you have yirah shamayim, what else? So there's a remarkable question here. If a person wants to be himself a Ben Torah and he wants his children to be Bnei Torah, Bnei Torah, to use that phrase, what kind of a wife do you have to have? So the answer is, you have to have a wife that knows how to perceive Gashmius Ach V'Rach as an opportunity for Ruchnius. Now women have a natural netiya towards Gashmius thicker things. There's no such thing as a woman who doesn't want to dress well and look good. There's something wrong with her if she doesn't. In fact, I always thought that there's a very fascinating thing. Rachel Eishes Rabbi Akiva was willing to give up everything for Torah. Right? And she did. That was willing. She gave up everything for Torah. Now you have the following question. This is my question. They got married. He went off to learn. He was there for 24 years. And he comes back to Gadol Dador. And he wants to reward his wife for all of that time that she waited for him, encouraged him, and supported him. What does he give her?
An
Irshel Zahav, a trinket, a piece of jewelry. I always found that to be very fascinating. This lady is managing to live in Shmatis for Kemat her entire life. She gives up everything. You would expect that what would he get for her? No, what would he get for her?
Nice dress.
No, a dress is the same as a piece of jewelry. What would he get for her? It's very poshut. A matzo leather band. A leather band matzo, that's what he should get for her. What I mean to say is that it's the most astonishing thing. And not only that, so the wife of another Tana sees that she's walking around with this incredibly beautiful piece of jewelry. It says the image of Yerushalayim on it, and Irshel Zahav. And she says to her husband, so how come you don't get me such a thing? So he answers her, if you would be like her, I would get it for you. But the point is, they're both Tanoim, and they're both Ba'im de Meruma Shalaylam, and their wives, of course, are Balais Madrega. And the bottom line is that what you do is you give them their reward. You give them, when it comes to Simcha of Yom Tov, what does the halacha say? You buy them nice clothing, exactly. So what's the pshat in that? The teretz is, that's what it is. So if a woman is left to her own devices, so gemach tamaisa that a person bought a fancy pair of shoes, bought herself a very fancy pair of shoes, relatively expensive, $250 a pair of shoes, and he's crying miserably to his chavis. His chavis says, a pair of shoes, nishkefela. What are you making such an asik? Why are you so miserly? Let her have her pair of shoes. He says, wait till you see what happens. So she comes back the next day with a very expensive dress. So he says, why did you buy a dress? You have 40 dresses in the closet. Yeah, but it doesn't match the shoes. The next day she buys herself a new mink coat for the same reason. Then she comes to him and she says, with a mink coat like this, I'm going to sit in that car. Never. So he says, you see what those pair of shoes cost me? In life, there's no limit to gashmius. And there are plenty of men who are rangatan and gashmias. But the natural teva of the woman is the gashmi. And the question is, what are you going to do with that gashmias? And how do you organize the perceptions of gashmias? And that's the difference between the isha that is shayach to Torah and the isha that is not. Because wherever you saw examples of an isha that shayach to Torah in the Chazal, it's always a woman who gives up the gashmias. By the way, I always thought that the connection to Gashmius can never be completely severed. If you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Deis Perek Gimel, you'll see that the Rambam said that a person wants to live like a hermit in squalor and so on. This is not a mahalach at all. So the whole concept of a human being and mana mechabdusa, we learned that the other day. And he's talking about the begodim of the man that is mana mechabdusa. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that we live in a way of dignity. Gimel dvarim archiv and daita shalodom, isha no adira no kalim noyim. This is a given. This is part of being human. Lo nitna Torah lemalachei asharis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Olam Hazeh to be a certain way. Not that Olam Hazeh should be Olam Abo already. And therefore, we do not completely deprive ourselves. We don't sit and contemplate Hashem on the top of a pole our entire lives. And this is a question, how do you manage that gashmius? If there has to be Gashmias, where, when, how, what, becomes a tremendous question. Because just like in money, Mishieshlai, there's also Kina and Taiva and Kavod wrapped up, all three of them, in the Inyan of Gashmias. So Kina, if the Vilna Goyen can tell his own family, don't go to shul, tells his wives, don't go to shul, because in shul, you'll just either have Kina or you'll be Ma'irah Kina. Why? Because this person's dress is nicer than the other person's dress. Imagine in the Beis Medrash of the Groin, the Dalet Amos of the Vilna Gaon, people still had such hasavas. We are only human. So Kina says, it's not enough what I have. It's not enough. Taiva is the etzem desire to have it. The taiva. I feel good when I have something like that. And Kavod, of course, is obvious. Because the more you have, the more you're respected. There's a certain mana mechabdusa. So the fact is that to negotiate kin and taiva kavod is who's responsible for in the family? So the answer is the wife. As the wife goes, that's how the family's going to go. And that's the way it is. No matter how you slice it, it's always going to come out that way. And therefore, if you have a wife like Rachel, Eishes Reb Akiva, it doesn't mean that she didn't care about clothes and jewelry. She cared. And she came from a home where this was a very big chelik of their hasaga. But her hasaga of Torah was such that if push comes to shove, you can give it up to such an extreme that you end up with nothing and it doesn't bother you. So that is the reward that she negotiated that Gashmius. He gave her what was valuable to her and what was special for her. The Irshel Zohar piece of jewelry. Because Athal Pikain, we are Bus of Adam, and Athal Pikain, she is a woman. And that is exactly what I believe is the fact that we gave away Hadlokas Haneiros to the wife, to the woman. Why? The mitzvah of Hadlokas Haneiros basically is a din in the bias, and everybody knows that the ultimate responsibility for the bias is always the husband and the father. Like the Rambam is Mevayer very clearly at the end of Hilchos Sota, and in general, this is your dua. Why should the man not have that mitzvah? Maman of Shach, if it's a mitzvah of kavod or if it's a mitzvah of oinig, everybody knows mitzvah bayes mishvuchay, rav mal shibut, right? It doesn't say about the women anything, even though they end up doing it. But in mitzvah bayes mishvuchay means you have to do a little bit yourself to show how much you're mechabit Shabbos. And therefore, whatever it is, the kavod of Shabbos that comes from Hadlokas Haneir should have belonged to the man. Why was it so completely given away to the woman? According to the Shita that says, he kofs on Neir Shalom, we understand. But if it's an Inyan of Shalom Bayis and so on, why was it given away to the woman? So the answer is because she is the one who knows the secret of how to turn Gashmius into Ruchnius. And that's exactly what Neir is. Neir is a material thing that is dormant in its potential and is useless when it's dead, and then when you put the fire to it and it starts to light, it can illuminate the entire place. That koyach of illumination, that Gashmius becomes a Dovah Ruchni, is an image, it's a model of her entire activity in life. And how she negotiates that is really what I believe the Yerushalmi is saying, Shari B'loi Torah. It's the Shari B'loi Isha, Shari B'loi Torah means that I need an Ezer Kenegdai to define the parameters of Gashmias. And it's ironic that the same person that can be a Rochel Eishes Rabbi Akiva could be so totally immersed in Gashmias that the husband doesn't stand a chance to learn one word the whole day. It's a very fascinating thing. Because be'emes it's zeh le'umazeh. It's really zeh le'umazeh. Because the person who has a shaychus to Gashmias can determine the Gashmias in either direction. And that's why the same person that you give nice begodim to and that Rabbi Akiva gave the ir shel zov to, that same person can become the eishes Rabbi Akiva, and that same person can say, you have responsibilities, you go work, you provide and provide and provide and provide because I want this and this and this and this. It's very interesting. You have a lot of households where there's a respect for Torah and there's even a measure of avas HaTorah, there's a commitment to Torah. But if you look carefully, the commitment to Gashmis is overwhelming. It's a very interesting thing. And if and very often it is totally, I would say more often than not, in the Hasogas and Hashkafas of the wife. And that's, by the way, why I personally believe if a person wants to have a Shaychus to real and authentic Torah learning for the rest of his life, who should he pick? A wife from a rich family that is used to Gashmias, or a wife from a poor family that doesn't know from it? So for Shteitzach, it's like this. You have a Rav, he has children. The children want to go into Rabbonus? Depends. In that old word of Rav Moshe, what did the person who was showing the Shabbos with Mesiras Nefesh say when he came home? Or it's gewaldig. I wouldn't give this up for anything. Person comes home and he lost his job. That's not so pushy. And he doesn't know what tomorrow's bread will bring. He says, tomorrow we may starve. And then he takes all the children around the table and he starts dancing with them a kazatska. And the children are looking at him for losing his job. He's dancing a kazatska. And he says to them, Kinderlach, are you kidding? This is the most happy moment of my life. I can show the Mesiras Nefesh for the Ribbono Shel Olam. I can show how much I love Hashem. I can show how much I care about Shabbos. It's gewaldig. Who has such an opportunity? And he dances again around the table with them. I guarantee you, and that's what Reb Moshe meant, that such children would never be Mechal Shabbos. But when a person comes home and he says, I'll tell you the truth, I have no choice, but it's a miserable life. A miserable life. So what's going to happen? It's a miserable life. Same thing with a rav. So I wanted to say the same thing. When you're in a home and you see yoimim v'layla, that the drapes that I just put on, new drapes, how long ago? Last year. You went a year without renovating? A full year without new drapes? So no, we have to get new drapes. Anybody that sees that, it's not pshat new drapes. The person makes a chasim. I'm very serious about this. It's very much, it preoccupies me, these ideas. A person makes a chasim, and the whole 6 months before the chasim, or whenever it is that they got engaged, there's one issue after another, who's going to be the caterer, and who's going to be the bed, and who's going to be the tablecloths, and who's going to be, and on and on and on and on. Vilichno Vissen Einzach, the Kala, she comes from that house. What is she hearing? What is she hearing? That life stops and everything goes into the Gashmias of this Chasna. That's what she hears. Now Chasna is a wonderful thing, and they're going to go down the Chuppah, and it's going to be a Mamashek Valdekazach, and he's a big Ben Torah, and she wants a person who sits and learns. And then there's another girl from another Mishpacha. They're not talking about what's going to be with the chasna because they don't have any idea themselves what's going to be. But they know one thing. Nochen chasna, you're going to give a promise that for 1,000 days you have nothing to do with him, that he could sit and learn Yom HaLayla. Or whatever it was, the nicer. You know what I'm talking about.
Rav Elyashiv Zichrono Livracha.
So if you're the daughter of Rav Arya Levine, you know what it means to be in poverty. You know what it means to be Maisa Nefesh for Torah Yom HaLayla, and you know what it means to want that desperately with every fiber of your being. So when a person grows up in that household, and then the daughter of Rav Elyashiv, who sees a mother like that and how she treats her father, this woman's husband, Rav Elyashiv, so what does she see? What does she think? How does she feel? So she becomes a Rebbetzin Kanievsky. Do you understand? And that is exactly how it works. And there's no way to break that education and that training. The Dovah Nifla about the household of Kalba Savua is that in spite of all of that, she could grow up to have such a Hasaga. That is a miracle, Rabbi say. And there must have been something extraordinary about that household. And it's covered HaTorah that somehow was able to overcome all of the apparatus. How did Zolei HaRabbonim say, who was very wealthy besides, Lulei Sarascha Shashuyos Avadati Biyoshri? That is a tremendous yotzei min haklal. It's a tremendous yotzei min haklal. And that's why it says, Hizaru b'vnei aniyim shemehem teitzei soira. Somebody would ask me, it means because in the home of the b'nei aniyim, it's a home where the perception of gashmius is so muted that inevitably the hasog of Torah is allowed to come to the fore. So getting back to this Rashi. Rashi says that she takes care of the tzarche habayis. So this is what I wanted to suggest. When Rashi speaks about taking care of the tzarche habayis, and to answer the stira that we seem to have between Rashi here and the Rashi in the Seches Kiddushin, because there he says that it's better that they're not even married yet, because when they get married, they're home, and they have all of these responsibilities, right? That's what Rashi says. So I wanted to say that when it says Shori B'loi Isha, the Ma'arav, I wanted to say literally the exact opposite of the Aruch HaNer. I wanted to say that taking care of Tzarta Abayis does not mean that she cooks and bakes. Stop! It's that she cooks and bakes so that he should be able to sit and learn. It means, in other words, when you're into Gashmius for only one reason, and that is for the Ruchniyus Shabbai, then Shori B'loi Isha, Shori B'loi Torah. And Lu Yitzuya, a person would have such a wife, then he would be able, Taka, to have Tzarchei Abayis and Apal Pikein. So the remarkable thing is that the Nisoyon proves that is hard to come by. And Memela, if you have a choice of learning first and then getting married, it's still better. But that's only because the chances of having a wife that has such a hasaga is not likely. Just like it's not likely that a regular person should become the Gadol Hador. You have an Isha that becomes a Gadol Hador in this attitude is rare to find. That's Eishes Chayim Miyimtza. But if Lu Yitzuya, you have such a woman, then B'marova Amri added to the list of Simcha and Bracha and Toivah. Not every person gets married as Simcha, Bracha, and Toivah. That's what the Aruch HaNer says very correctly. And you see the examples that they have. But the fact is that the same woman, if there's a woman who can provide Simcha, Bracha, and Toivah, then there's a woman who can provide Torah and Chaimah as well. And exactly the same thing about Chaimah, and that will end. What does it mean, Shori B'loi Isha, Shori B'loi Chaimah? So the Balabatashib Shat is much less than what it really means. It goes far beyond the simple explanation. When we say Matzilo Sosonu Minachet, so the first thing a person thinks is Paspisali. The first thing a person thinks is that he's not chasing out in the street. Yes, that's absolutely true. But it's much, much more than that. Chaima is the internet, rabbis say. Now, I'm not going now on an agenda. I have no agenda here. I'm just giving it as a mushal. But it's such a good mushal. There's a lot of shopping to be done on the internet. And there's a lot of time that I have because I don't have to sit and learn the whole day. And on and on. And I'm bored. Or I'm busy with the children and I'm exhausted. So I want a little relaxation, but I'm not going to go out of the house. I'm not going to go to the movies. But I can hop a movie on the internet. A kosher movie. Some of there's no such thing. But Lu Yitzui. No, because kosher also, it's the same thing. What does kosher mean? That everybody's dressed. I mean, kosher, nish pashut, what's kosher? Kosher is hashkafas, kosher is language. Some of my yedidim feel a tremendous obligation, some by email, some in person, some on the phone. They feel an obligation to tell me all of the things that go on in the world today. And I keep telling them, it's enough. I have enough chaimer for another 100 drushes. You can stop. But they're so frustrated. No, really, this is what it is. They're so frustrated with the world that they encounter, whether it's in business or this way or that way, something I don't want to ask them, how do you know these things? Of whatever it is, they bring me barrels and barrels of information. So one person comes to me crying desperately, says, you know, in my family, they go to the movies. They watch television. I don't remember what he said. They watch television. So his family, you know, his family, wherever they are, you know, out on the island, whatever. So he goes home, he has this huge television that's as big as the sign for the annual dinner. Anyone, by the way, wants to give a donation? But anyhow, it's a sign for the annual dinner. So he says, what is the television today? It says one nivel pet after the other. He says, what is that? I turn on the radio. I'm trying, he says, Rebbe, I'm trying. I don't want to listen to any of that stuff, but I'm so used to it from my childhood. These people are Balei Teshuva. They're tremendous Balei Teshuva. Turn on the radio. I want to listen to something that's not so treif. He's already masking, but he says it's not so treif. He says, can't find anything. Everything is nibble peh. Mamet, the world is now engaged in how much nibble peh you can give out per minute. Like, how many words can you type a minute? How much nibble peh can the rapper say in 30 seconds? So if you have that kind of a hasaga, there is nothing that's really kosher. But whatever it is, she wants a little relaxation, a little peace and quiet. So was ist das schlecht? Was ist das schlecht? So I'm not going now, that's not my agenda right now. But what's my point? My point is that hasagas are very able. Chayma doesn't mean that you're married. Chayma means that when you're married, she's a chayma. She's constantly recreating and renegotiating the chayma. Wherever challenges come, there is already a barrier. The best and most perfect example in history is and Avraham Avinu. You can talk about Avraham Avinu. Who can talk about Avraham Avinu? But the fact is that he wanted Yishmael, and she says, "Goresh esham azayz vezbena." That's an unbelievable thing. That's chayma. Chayma isn't that he's married. Chayma is that when he's married. It's not that matzilus hasadim in achayim is not chayma. That's what I'm driving at. Matzilus hasadim in achayim is why he still wants to be nice to her. But it's not chayma. Chayma is something else. So you know the pasuk for chayma. Where is the pasuk? We just said the pasuk in Iyah. Where is the pasuk for chayma? It's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. She's a fortress. She's a tower. She is a wall of defense around him that segregates and separates the bayis from the street and the shmutz of the street and the olam of is b'chaloneinu of the street. So what is the chayma come from? Where does that come from? The keva to soiviv gover. And that's where our minig in the Ashkenazim that they go around once or three times or seven times. I remember once there was a certain, you know, who watches over that? Either the Mesad Kedushin, but a lot of times Mesad Kedushin hasn't even been called up yet, and he's not that kind of Mesad Kedushin to be a manager. So who does it? The caterer. Anyhow, the caterer was busy, something broke. The microphone or the air conditioning, weiß nicht, and the rub was nowhere to be found. I'm telling you, they went around at least 17 times before they got. But what is the business of walking around? What is that all about? No, I'm serious, and I'm going to tell you something very interesting. There are two chaymas in a chasen. You can say this over at a Sheva Brochus. I give it to you as a matana. There are two chaymas, there are two walls, fortresses, that are at a chasen. One of them is under the chuppah when she walks around. Don't say it by a Sephardi chasana because they don't walk around. But one is that when they walk around, and the other one is in the yichud room. You know, in the yichud room, there's no exits. You walk around, the Edom look around the room to see that there's no other door, and then they stand like soldiers guarding the front door, and that's it. And what goes on is totally private. But not only is it totally private, there's also no exit. There's no exit and no entry. What is the so that's a chayma. That's the best chayma possible. But you can't live like that. Because you are always in the street. There's always exposure. There's always open. Because in the Hachnosas Orchim was also like that. I believe that the reason that she didn't like the fact that he was so nice to them, Avraham Avinu, and why she said Kemach when he said Silas, and Eina Tzara Ba'archim, because a person is afraid of an Oireach. Because who knows what Avak Sheberaglav he's bringing into my house, spiritually. What Avodah Zarah he's involved in, that he's contaminating my Kedusha and my Tara, and my Anan Kosher Al Oil, and Bracha Metzuyah Be'isa. And Vaharaya, in fact, the Haftarah of the Shunamis not only welcomed Elisha, she was the instigator. Her husband follows her in this. Na'aseno, alias Kirktano. He comes to her and he says to her, he doesn't say anything to the husband. Actually, he doesesn't talk to her. He sends Gekaz. It's the whole lineage of Kedusha of Elisha. But the fact of the matter is that when Elisha came,
She was the one that insisted that they should do more and more and more. I, Isha, in a tzara ba'archim.
The Torah says, depends who's the areach. But when you have that minhag of going around in the open chuppah for everyone to see, she is weaving an invisible wall. That is the most unbelievable thing. It's a wall that allows that the street should exist, but you're never part of the street. You know, the famous halacha that everybody knows, that you're supposed to hold the esrog and the lulav together. So if that's the case, there's always a problem when you're holding the siddur by Hashanis. You got to walk around, you have to hold them together, and they make all these things, you hang on your wrist, you can dangle it from your nose, I don't know. But the question is, it's a very simple eitzah. And I don't know why Chazal didn't pick up on this. It's such a good eitzah. Instead of making a place for the lulav, the hadas, and the arava, and leaving the esrog out, why don't you make a fourth little, you know, a little nice container? I'm sure there'll be a whole industry for it. And you'll be able to put in the esrog together with the lulav, the hadas, and the arava in one thing. You'll be able to hold it in one hand, and you'll have all of that. The teretzes, the poskim say, that no matter that you have to hold them together, but it can't be part of the chefza. Why? Because the esrog bav zayin anosh. The esrog is the time of yugaret, is the tzaddik. And the tzaddik cannot be. It can't. That's the point. You can have an open chuppah. You can have the door open on all four sides. It's on all sides open. But only if she makes the chayma that requires that separation, even when everything appears to be open. And that is the complete opposite of that enclosure which is called the Yichud Room. The Yichud Room says there's no such thing as the street at all. But you can't maintain that. That does not exist in life. I mean, in anybody's life, Haredi or not. It doesn't make a difference. I'm not advocating. I'm a very Haredi person. I am totally Haredi. No, I'm serious. I'm very serious. I'm totally Haredi, and I'm part of that Hashkofa that says, if you can live without it, live without it. If you can avoid it, avoid it. Not live with it and try to negotiate it. Everybody has their shita. But the fact is that when you are in the world of Olam Hazeh, you are in the world of Olam Hazeh. It doesn't matter how you slice it. And that's why Rebbe Akiva bought her in Yeshel Zahav, and he didn't give her a chumash and a mafzer. That's right. And that's what Halacha says, you have to buy her a dress. It doesn't say you have to buy her a siddur or a mafzer. That's right. Or whatever is its equivalent. And the fact that the woman is responsible for that, I believe that that's what means Shori B'loi Torah and Shori B'loi Choyma. Al Hatzara Yoyser Toiv of what those things mean. And that's what Tzar Fe'achai is. Tzar Fe'achai doesn't mean, am I going to be busy with this or I'll be free of this? Am I living this kind of life or am I free from living this kind of life? That's the tremendous difference. And I think that that is the emes of pshat, even if it isn't the pshat in Rashi, but it's the pshat in life. That Shorib Loitoma Shorib Lochoma means a woman, because of her, the whole Hashkofas Habayis revolves around Torah. And I just want to finish, I know the hour is late and I'm late also, but I just want to finish with something. The Pasuk says in B'chukosai Teleichu, what does Rashi say? Everybody knows the Rashi. Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. I have one question. There are a lot of questions, but I have one question. I've asked this question since I was a little child. Who is being spoken to? Who is the Ribbono Shel Olam talking to? Men only or men and women? That's my question. Avada men and women. It's talking to Klal Yisrael. In the Kol Sei Televes, so I say Jewish rule. Avada is talking to Klal Yisrael. So if that's the case, how could you say Shetiyu Amelim Batayra? The answer is, Tiyu Amelim Batayra, he learns from the Kol Sei Televes. You know what that teaches me? That teaches me that we're not talking about sitting in the Beis Medrash only. We're talking about a worldview. We're talking about a value system. We're talking about a society that is embracing the value and the significance of Limud HaTorah. And without the wife, you will never, ever have such a home that has a B'chukosai Teilechu Shekiyu Amelim B'Torah attitude, and you certainly won't be able to develop such a civilization. And that's exactly why you can say, even to the women, Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah, because if they don't make it happen, it's never going to happen by the men. And that's exactly
The ultimate model is Eishes Rabbi Akiva, but you don't need Eishes Rabbi Akiva.
So somebody the other day, on Monday, asked me, that whole Gemara, it's the strangest Gemara, Gemara in Ksuba, Staf Samach, Beis, Amid Beis, and Gimel Amid Aleph.
The Gemara did tell stories about they were away, and they shot their wives, and they worried about that maybe if I would have had a child, maybe he would have become a shtickle mensch, like this young fellow, then he discovered that that's his child. So what's going on over here? You're sacrificing all of that because of your learning? That's what they asked me. How could you live like that? How could you be that kind of a person?
Because people don't understand what it means to sacrifice for Torah.
But Tetiu Amelim Batorah is a super extreme. The Vilna Gaon had a son, he was sick, he was in a certain room in a place, whatever it is, and he forgot that he had a sick son. Not that he doesn't care about his son. He cares about his son tremendously. The minute he remembered, he ran to his son. But he forgot that his son was sick. I don't sick doesn't mean that he had a nazelot. That he had a nose cold? It means he was sick.
But a teretz is Tyra. And like the Gemara, like Chazal say, Loi b'shamayim hi.
Loi b'shamayim hi.
So Reb Zalman of Aloshiner goes and he pulls away the Sfarim Shrank. He doesn't have kayak. He died young. He doesn't have any kayak at all, ever.
He once fell asleep on the arms of the Vilna Gaon. They try to pull him away. The Gaon says, no, I'm holding Kol HaTorah Kulo in my hands. You want to take it away?
But he was very sickly, and he picks up with superhuman conscience. He pulls away the shrank.
He walks, of course, in the middle of the night, the forest, to the next town to get a rajva. So they ask him, wait till the morning, you'll get a driver to take you. He says, Loi v'ashamayim hi. So the Sifri says, She'ilu hoya v'ashamayim hoyisa tzarech la'alo se'lo.
It doesn't mean Loi v'ashamayim hi. It's an easy thing. It's not an easy thing.
It's just that no one is expected to sacrifice for the sake of sacrifice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to make it easy for you. But if it's necessary, then you have to sacrifice to the extreme. And for a woman to have that hasoga and gashmius is oisekes v'tzorchei habayis. That's how I understood that the Gemara and that Rashi perhaps even as well.